No time like now.
No time like the present. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Chew.
And this is Wes.
Of the Dank and Chew Show. This is the first one. Well, I guess, how do we even want to start this? It's been how many years, Wes, since we've gone ahead and done a show?
Well, I don't think we ever actually officially did a show. We did a 9-hour marathon, and that was about it.
Yeah, and I still need to throw that up on the internet somewhere. So yeah, it's been a long time coming, if not forever, as you said, because we never actually started a show. Basically,
for it took us longer to get the Dank and Chew Show going than it did to get TNT. just to put it into perspective.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, we'll I'll just come out and say it. I've got probably enough time that I can do this, the New Tech podcast, as well as the regular the New Tech show and work and shit like that. So long as my dogs aren't fucking destroying shit downstairs, which is entirely possible right now. The fucking bitch just chews on everything. And I know it's not her fault. She's fucking young. But for fuck's sake, like, thankfully, the carpet that I have when you come in the back door, that is...
We have the mentality of 12-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. I bought that from Ross, of all places, for like $7. If it was anything else, I'd be fucking pissed and I'd throw her through a fucking wall. But yeah, so for the uninitiated, I guess we should give them a kind of a rundown as to what the Dank and Chew Show actually is. That would probably be good, right?
Well, I mean, it's assuming we actually know what the Dank and Chew Show is.
Well, basically, I'm going to say it's not for the faint of heart.
No, it certainly is not for that. If you are easily offended, have a poor sense of humor, or are, you know, susceptible to heart attack, stroke, or epileptic attacks, you probably shouldn't tune in for your own well-being.
Yeah, it's going to be something that you're going to want to keep the kids away from, lock up grandma, and you know, preferably probably listen with headphones on, just so we don't have too much of a problem with you getting in trouble listening to us.
Right, definitely not safe for work. Not safe for children, probably not safe for spouses. Like, basically treat us like porn, you know. Yeah. A dark corner away from everybody in your house where you can just cannot wake the master.
Yeah, it's so we've got a few listeners right now, but obviously this is going to be a podcast released online as well. But Box GameX, who listened to the Jeff and Chew Show way back in the day, chew on this, I think, even. Maybe he doesn't go that far back, but definitely the Jeff and Chew Show, and definitely he listened to, I think, our 9-hour marathon podcast.
Well, and that was just alcohol and other drugs filled shenanigans.
Hey, I'm not ashamed. I used to smoke the ganj, you know. It's nothing that I'm ashamed of. I don't do it anymore.
I'll just say that I live in Colorado.
Yeah, so you know, it's all good.
I will neither confirm nor deny anything. I will just simply state where I live.
Yeah, so while we're doing this, this is obviously the first one back, and we've got a lot of stuff involved. So some of the technology to give you guys. So Wes is in Colorado. I'm in Virginia. Obviously, it's two time zones different. So he's all the way on the other side of the United States. We are connected into a Mumble server utilizing virtual audio cables so that I can hear Wes and also broadcast out live what we're actually doing, in addition to recording multi-track audio so that we can go back and edit it later in the event that one of us says something so vulgar that it should never, ever be repeated again.
And it's going to have to be really fucking bad for us to be like, you know what? I want to recant that. Like, it's going to have to be really, really bad, because I can normally get away with Nuke the Gay Jew Whales and everybody's just like, oh, what?
Yeah, so what? What just happened?
What'd you? Huh?
Ugh.
I don't know.
Oh, and then we're also using Skype so that we can take video or visual cues from each other as well.
Yeah.
But the audio is muted on that, so we don't get some weird retarded echo thing where we're like, hello, 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 what?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Wes, what do you want to talk about, buddy?
I'm not entirely sure because you texted me like 2 hours ago and you're like, let's do a show this afternoon. I'm like, great. I'm going to go buy some new games at Target, but I'll be home in time.
Yeah, that works.
Well, because I don't know. Like, I actually really like Will Wheaton, like as a person, like being online and all the nerdy stuff that he does. I actually really like him. And one of his shows that he does for Geek and Sundry is called Tabletop, where him and, you know, like three or four other friends of his review some kind of tabletop game. And I don't watch like every weekly episode when it comes out. I don't watch it for like 2 months and then spend an entire day watching half hour episodes of Tabletop.
Right.
And I inferred that they're sponsored by Target because if you go watch their videos on YouTube, the like part of the synopsis underneath the actual video is you can go buy this game at Target or Target online, or if you happen to have a game store, it's like your local Target store, target.com, and then your local game store.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that looks like a sponsorship.
But at least they're not, you know, would you rather them do that or would you rather them just plaster Target everywhere and be covert about it?
No, I certainly prefer the just in the synopsis, go to Target to get this game or go to your local game store, because I'd hate to just see a big fucking bullseye in the middle of the show every time. just go to Target. Boom. And back to the show.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I've never gotten into is, you know, I played Magic way back in the day. This is probably fucking 10 years ago, like coming out of high school, senior
year. Yeah, but how many hours did you lose to WoW? You lost days to WoW, weeks to WoW.
I think it was somewhere in the range of actual time played. So all the cumulative times that I logged in and played, I think it was somewhere in the range of, you know, 1,200 hours, something like that.
1,200 hours?
1,200 hours.
Oh, my God, you're so lame. You're such a fucking loser.
But, dude, the fucking game's been out forever and a day. How can you, I mean, and for somebody that, you know, is...
I might have logged 100 hours.
Well, that's...
I mean, that's not inconsequential, but it's... an order of magnitude less than you.
It's only 3 days. It's only 3 days. I had a marathon session playing for 3 days before.
Yeah, I never did that. I never fucking did that. Like, I got so tired of it because it's not like I was in like a proper guild or anything like that where I, you know, we're going to go on a raid on Tuesday night. Yay! No, I just fucking ran around and I was one of those idiots that would stand in front of one of the dungeons when it was time to go. And I'm like, hey, I'm a tank. Anybody need a tank?
Well, I think that's part of your problem. So when one of the expansion packs came out, I was in line for that. I think it was the first expansion pack, Burning Crusade.
Yeah, the one that brought in the Blood Elves and the fucking Taurus looking motherfuckers.
No.
Yes.
Was that Burning Crusade?
I think so.
I don't remember. It may have been. I don't know.
And the other, the next one, because the next one was like Rise of the Lich King or some shit like that. Lich King.
Oh yeah. Okay. So yeah, they did. So that was the Night Owls, and shit like that. What is my fucking dog chewing on? Anyway, I'm probably gonna go back downstairs. I'm gonna be pissed. I'm gonna throw it through the window. But anyway. So I was standing outside, and then we were the first ones on our server to get like the new level 70, and I think we played in shifts for just like 3 or 4 days. So I would wake up after only like 4 or 5 hours of sleep and then just play fucking all day. And this is when I didn't have a fucking really a job per se. It was just kind of, you know, that's what I did. So it was, lost quite a few hours to that game.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, no. Like, I lost plenty of my life to it, but I'm seriously probably an order of magnitude less than you.
The only other game that I can honestly say I've played like that was Diablo 2.
But I don't know why I'm okay with Diablo and not WoW. Like, WoW, just I'm just like, oh, splatter my brains everywhere. Fuck that shit. But, fuck, were we? What the fuck were we going on before this? On about before this? I completely lost track. Like, we were talking about something. Lost time. Magic. Game store.
Game store. Yeah. Oh yeah. So I played Magic and I played WoW, but I never got into tabletop because I think it's because I wasn't really, I don't know, I just friends with all the fucking nerds in high school.
I think you're mistaking tabletop. I think your idea of what a tabletop game is a little skewed. That's not Dungeons and Dragons. It's not necessarily Dungeons and Dragons or Warhammer or, you know, like the miniatures or the RPGs. A tabletop game is anything that you play on a table.
So like Chutes and Ladders?
Yeah, technically.
Candyland?
Yep.
Do you guys all get together and play Monopoly?
No, because Dane Cook had it right when he said, you know, every game of Monopoly ends like this. Fuck this, I quit. Eat a dick, Grandma.
That's exactly right. I could just imagine a bunch of people getting together to play like Moonlit says, Clue. Now, see, I could get together and I could play like Risk. Like that's a game.
Oh, because Risk doesn't take for fucking ever either.
It's not about taking forever. It's about, you know, the strategy involved in, you know, without some fucking made up rules about shit.
Well, and yes, Risk is actually a prime example of the tabletop games they're talking about. And there's some that are more simple than others. Like one of my favorites is called Zombie Dice.
Zombie Dice.
Yeah, it's 13 dice that you roll 3 at a time, and you're trying to get 13 brains because you're a zombie. And the dice, there's like 6 green dice, 4 yellow dice, and 3 red dice. The green ones have like 4 brains on them, 1 shotgun blast, and 1 guy running away. The yellow are 2, 2, and 2, and the red are 6 shotgun or 4 shotgun blasts. 2 guys running away and 1 brain.
Alright.
And like you pick 3 dice at random from the cup. It's like a Yahtzee cup. And you just shake them up, pick 3 dice at random and roll them. And you see what you get. And if you have brains, you set them aside. If you have a shotgun blast, you set it aside. If it's a set of feet, which is somebody running away, you have to roll that dice again, or that die again, if you choose to roll again. But the idea is that you're trying to collect 13 brains. And 3 shotgun blasts end your turn, and it nullifies your turn. So if you have like 6 brains and you roll 3 shotguns, fuck it, there go your brains, and the dice move to the next person. It's a great fucking drunk party game because it doesn't take that much. You just roll the dice, and you're like, I got 4 brains.
It sounds a little reminiscent of, but more involved than something like Left, Right, Center. You ever played Left, Right, Center?
I've seen it at the game store, but I've never actually played it.
Okay. And it's been the last, I'll be honest, last time I played Left, Right, Center, I was fucking stoned out of my gourd. But, you know, so to be honest with you, I learned it when I was stoned. The last time I played it was stoned. So don't quote me on, don't even expect me to figure out how to explain it. But, I mean, that's one of those games that, you know, yeah, you can just have a blast playing and not, you know, really worry about kind of thing.
See, and I love playing tabletop games like that, you know, where you just have a lot of fun playing them. You get a couple friends over, start drinking some beer, and, you know, you play something that doesn't take a lot of effort. I've got one called Guillotine where you're trying to collect heads.
Right.
But it's a card game, and so you play cards to fuck other people.
Gotcha.
Of course I have Monopoly because everybody fucking owns Monopoly.
I honestly don't think I have a board game in my house.
Oh my God, you're such a fucking Philistine.
Well, Jessica, my girlfriend, she's a big card game fan. So we have, Phase 10 and some of the Unos and shit like that. But, You know, it's, and I get fucking, I get so enraged when I'm playing fucking Phase 10.
Me like, too.
These fucking cards are bullshit.
Yes.
I need one fucking card. Fuck this game.
She's like, I love playing Phase 10, but you fucking hate playing against me. I'm like, you're goddamn right I do. Because like,
I get fucking raged. And yeah, it's just like, I want to shake phase, somebody.
And then she's like, I'm out. Like, whatever she does, she makes phase, and then she's like, I'm out, and I'm stuck there holding a fistful of fucking cards, and I haven't made phase yet. I'm like, God damn it! All right. I'm only one phase down, so count up all my 5 million fucking points, and then deal out the next hand. And then she's like, draws one card, and she's like, I made phase, and I'm out. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. It's like, you fucking cheated. She's like, I didn't deal. I'm like, I don't give a shit, you fucking cheated.
Exactly! Fucking cheated, and you know what, through telepathy? I don't fucking know, but you did it. So yeah, and so, but you know, if there's like four of us playing, then I'm like, okay, I have a chance, because you know, like, I can play off their cards and shit, and I've got more opportunities to mill the deck. But you know, me and her alone, I'm just like, bullshit, fuck you deck, fuck you Annie, fuck this game, fuck the new tech, fuck Matt, fuck Mike, fuck everybody, fuck this house. Like, I just go through the list of everything I can even think of, and I'm just like, fuck it.
Fuck that lamp, fuck that chair. You're all in on it, you motherfuckers.
Exactly.
I swear to God.
It's a goddamn conspiracy, you pieces of shit. Hope you fucking die in a fire.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's, I don't know. And on the subject of games that I've fucking played way too much, Battlefield 2 is another one. I've always hated the Battlefield. I used to light bitches up playing Battlefield. And then Battlefield 3 came out, and I built this rig for it. And it was good, it was fun, but I didn't have any of my old bros to play with. So like, I wasn't dominating like we used to. Because that's so much more of a team-based game than your Call of Duties. So
see, that's what I like, run and gun.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I was always the one that, you know, would lead the charge, but I always say I had backup. So like, if I, you know, was running and I missed somebody on the side, somebody behind me would fucking, you know, cap that dude before he was able to cap me and shit like that. So
yeah, but see, I the first FPS that I really put any reasonable amount of time in, and by reasonable I mean it almost consumed my life, was Counter-Strike. Like, yeah. I played a little bit of Quake and
Quake 2, Quake 2, man, I fucking used to destroy in that game, too.
Of course, you destroyed in every game you played, Matt.
I destroyed Darren in Quake 2.
No, that is true. I'll cheers to that.
To the point where he was like, fuck this, I'm out. I'm like, yeah, that's right, motherfucker.
I remember that. And I would have done a whole lot better in that UT tournament, but I was using your stupid mouse pad thing that fucked me all up.
You can't fucking, you know what? It's funny. I was actually trying to find that, but I just can't find it. I don't know where the recording is for when Chris and I did that game session.
I was getting so fucking furious that I just, by the end of it, I was so furious. I was so far off my game. I was just like, I couldn't think straight. I was just fucking seeing red.
I saw it unravel, and it was heartbreaking to watch.
I was so mad, but I actually do blame a part of it on that fucking Razer pad, because whenever I played before, I didn't use a mouse pad. I used a piece of paper taped to my clear glass desk. So I got on that.
So what was it, too slick for you?
Yes, it was too slick. Like, I'd go to like Twitch over, and I'm like, woohoo! I'm like, fuck, god damn it. Oh my god. So yes, Sydney. Yes, Sydney Darnay. Fucking kind of name is that anyway, Sydney Darnay?
I just call him Sid.
Yes, Sid. I'm blaming. I'm at least putting some of the blame on the mouse pad. But I mean. You know what? I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
What are you not going to say?
If I say it, then I said it.
You got to say it, because you can't fucking leave us hanging now.
I was going to somewhat admit that he might have been better at UT than me.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, hey, at least you can look back and be like, all right, you know, maybe it wasn't my thing. But no, I you know, one thing that I miss is fucking LAN parties.
Yeah.
I miss fucking finding them on LANparty.com, showing up with your fucking beast of a rig that I custom built and just fucking destroying. So it was me, Jeff, and our one other buddy. And we used to fucking practice in UT 2003. And
dude, I was at the big LAN that was around there. I think you made it to the last one, the ECL.
Yeah.
And I was at ECL when they released, like, they were releasing UT 2K3 that weekend.
And no, because it must have been UT 2K4.
No, it was released. 3.
No, because we used to play 2K3 when I was in Ohio.
Yeah. The ECL I went to was when they released 2K3. It was before you came down to VA.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, I remember when, like, it was a big deal. All the fucking, like, all of ECL cleared out, piled into like the closest department stores, and basically bought them out of 2K3, and then they ran like a blue light special.
Yeah, those were the days, man, when fucking, you know, you just show up and meet some cool dudes, and if you didn't have a team, they were like, okay, you know, I'll join your team and stuff like that. But I mean, when we were fucking playing up in Ohio, man, we used to just rape face on the fucking assault maps. Like, they didn't need, like, so the assault maps, if you remember, were you both had your chance at doing the
exact same objective.
Right. And you had to prevent the other team from, you know, completing the objective. They didn't get past the first fucking stage. We just fucking locked them out and said, fuck you. You are not going anywhere. And yeah, and it's, you know, I wonder, you know, we've done the TF2. We've done, I think that's the only game that we've actually played. I know we're trying to get some Battlefield 2 going on.
I still love Counter-Strike. I'm sorry. I still love Counter-Strike. To the day I die. Fucking love it. Even Source.
I used to hate that motherfucking AK, dude. I was so inaccurate with that fucking thing.
Yeah, but if you were good with it, it was dirty how nice that thing was. Dude, I used to play with a guy that could snipe somebody from across the map with an AK, and that was before you could put scopes on guns. He would just crouch down, and he'd be like, pop, headshot, and he was not fucking cheating.
But that's fucking bullshit.
He could pull that shit off with the Deagle, too, the Desert Eagle.
Oh, yeah.
He would just be like, poof! Watch just fucking kills roll on the fucking log.
Right.
You'd just be like, dude,
you're way too good for me to be playing with. Yeah, I mean, I got into Counter-Strike, you know, around 1.6.
See, I got in at 1.1.
Oh, Jesus Christ, no. I'm not that fucking old school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No.
Like, the first time I ever played, I was at a LAN party, and I'd never played before, and they're like, all right, you use these keys to move, shoot with this button, jump. You know, like, they told me how the keys worked, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
I've played a couple of computer games. I'll figure this shit out. But, you know, it was like Doom that I played, where I was used to using the arrow keys and, like, control and alt to do shit.
That's the other thing about fucking Darren. He uses the arrow keys.
Does
when he? He uses the arrow keys to fucking play his games. I was like, what the fuck are you doing, douche?
I don't remember that.
He's like, I'm like, WASD? He's like, no, man, I use the arrow keys. Like, get the fuck out of here. You're no fucking gamer. If you use the arrow keys, you are a fucking imitation gamer, and you need to GTFO.
Well, I think part of it was because he used to use WSAD, but then at one point, like, he had this bitch of a girlfriend that, so he'd be sitting there talking to her on the phone, and he had mapped all the keys for right around the arrow keys.
Yeah.
So, like, he could play one-handed.
Yeah.
And I think it might have stuck. I don't know. Because he doesn't type properly either. He types with, like, 6 fingers.
Really?
Yeah, he types with first 3 fingers on each hand.
That's fucking stupid.
Because that's how he taught himself how to type, so he doesn't type properly.
I taught myself how to type, and I use all my fingers. The only thing I don't do... No. I guess I do now. Oh, no, that's the one thing I don't do. I barely, if rarely ever, use my right shift. Like, even if I'm typing with my left hand, and I need to type, like, capital A or capital W or something like that, it's always with the left.
Yeah, apparently, according to my keyboard, I'm the same way.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the where on my keyboard.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. And I know it would be faster, maybe, but if I tried to force myself now, I'd be fucked.
I think I've gotten better about switching back and forth. But yeah, according to this keyboard, I beat the shit out of the left shift key.
Like you've got the wear mark on it.
Yeah, it's nice just, and shiny.
It's nice and shiny from going from a matte keyboard to a fucking shiny spot on the keyboard. You're like, yep. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I mean, like, look, circling back around, you kind of cleared it up, so tabletops can be anything. But
yeah.
But I just never, and I just guess I never had anybody to really play table, quote unquote, tabletops with.
But like, we didn't do it that much either. But then as I got older and, you know, had my friends that I could go to their houses and hang out with, and, you know, like we had places to go, I started discovering more and more how much I do enjoy them because they're a lot more social. You know, you sit there and play, you know, you can play a bunch of online games and you're talking shit over Xbox Live or if you have a vent server or whatever. Like, that's one thing, but you're just talking a lot of shit or you're trying to, you know, get to the objective. But there's something about sitting around a table so you can talk shit and be like, oh, you're a fucking dick. But you know what? Boom, and throw a fucking card on the table and you're like, ha ha, suck it.
Yeah, suck it, motherfucker.
So. But- You know, yeah. So that's why, like, I stock up on them. And then watching tabletop, you get introduced to a lot of different kinds of games.
Sure.
Like, I learned about Zombie Dice from that show because they did a special on really fast party games.
Right.
So it was like three games they did in one episode because it was only like 10 minutes to show how each game is played.
Gotcha.
But most of the time it runs like a half an hour-ish. And sometimes they did one called Fiasco, which is an RPG. So think of like vampires or a little bit like Dungeons and Dragons where like you're playing out a role.
Yeah.
But you're playing out a Coen's brother movie where it's separated into two acts. The first act is all your plans coming together. Like you're formulating all your plans as these really fucked up characters. And then the second act, just like a Coen brothers movie. everything just goes fucking sideways and just it all goes to hell. And as like you're acting out the scenes, the other people playing the game with you get to pick a white die or a red die for you. A white die means your scene is going your way and it's going to end well for you. A red die means your scene's going to shit. And like after you finish the first act, you roll all these dice to figure out exactly what the dice rolls dictate how the second act is going to happen. Like what's going to happen in the second act. So like, you know, what you roll, you look at this sheet and it says some really bad shit's going to happen and it's going to kind of look like this.
Right.
And so you have to play the role of the characters on out until everybody fucking dies and shit blows up and, you know, somebody might come out somewhat unscathed.
Right.
But it actually looked like a lot of fun. So you get like four or five people just playing out these roles. And like I said, it's like a Coen brothers movie. So think of Burn After Reading. Did you ever see that one with
Brad Pitt?
I think Brad Pitt was in it. George Clooney was in it. John Malkovich was in it. It was a really typical Coen brothers movie where at the end of it, you just start scratching your fucking head and you're like, the fuck just happened? Like,
what?
Did this movie just end? Like, what? I'm gonna go smoke some pot and maybe regain some brain cells. I don't know.
Well, maybe then I'll understand it.
Yeah.
Because you know they probably wrote it while they were stoned, so they probably wanted you to watch it when you're stoned.
Yeah, but at least, you know, like movies like Natural Born Killers, like you know you're supposed to be on drugs watching that movie.
Yeah. All right, so there's something I want to take a stab at. And this is so switching gears here. So I was browsing around the interwebs, and I came across a story. And so this mother in Georgia, all right, she lost her 13-month-old son, and I'll get to that in a second. But in 2008, her 18-year-old son was stabbed to death.
Oh my God!
Okay, so just what was it, yesterday or something like that? I don't know. It was a day or two ago. Her 13-month-old in the stroller
just sits.
How do you think he dies? I'm going to put the question out there. I can see that you're not looking up this story or anything like that. So I just want you to take three guesses as to how this baby dies.
I'm guessing it's not SIDS.
No.
Chokes on its own vomit.
Incorrect.
Did it somehow get stabbed?
There was violence involved, but it was not a stabbing.
Dude, this is just too morbid. Like,
so, okay. Basically, where was I looking at this? Okay, so she said the incident occurred at 9 a.m. Thursday, so a few days ago, as she was walking home from the post office. Two boys came up to her, and one asked for money. When she told them she didn't have any money, one of the boys shot her in the leg and then her baby in the face.
Jesus!
Right?
What kind of fucking world are we living in?
The fucking kid in the face. Identified the older suspect as DeMarcus Elkins, 17, and another boy, 14.
Oh my God, dude.
What fucking animals. Oh. And the good news, and I can say, is that Mr. Elkins, 17, shall be charged
as an adult. What state was this?
Georgia.
He's gonna hang.
Yes, he will.
Rightfully so.
Fucking crazy, dude. Not only does she lose a kid, she loses a second kid, a baby, to a fucking retard.
To an armed robbery.
Animal. It's fucking, you know, and that's the thing is there, you know, and to be honest with you, that's why I don't fucking watch the news anymore.
Oh yeah, I gave up. I watch political news. That's it.
Yeah, like I do not turn on the local fucking news anymore because it's nothing but fucking murders, robberies,
rapes.
Shit like that. Yeah, fuck that. Fuck this life, man. It's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time that I actually sat down and watched the local news because. You're absolutely right. It's so goddamn depressing, and it just makes you lose all faith in humanity.
So that's one of the things that is inherently instilled upon birth, or should be, is some sort of morality of I shouldn't do this because it's morally wrong. Morals aren't taught; they're felt, and like, how do you not have that feeling of just any morality whatsoever? It's just beyond me.
Well, and, you know, and then you'll hear, like, these ultra-conservative religious people, they're like, well, that person just needs Jesus. I'm like, no, they needed to get their ass beat as a child.
Yeah. Dude, my dad used to make me go pick the belt that I was going to get my ass beat with.
Well, I grew up in a poor family, so my dad only had one belt. There wasn't a whole lot of choices, but I got my ass beat plenty. And like he'd mastered that like one handed unbuckle and just rip right off of his own waistband, and you could hear it go.
Oh yeah, through the belt loops.
Yeah, just. And I was like, oh. You know.
But yeah, I mean, and you know, Sydney brings up a kind of a good point is, you know, as many of us that are in the world, you're surprised we're not just killing each other just, you know, more often.
Well, because I'd like to think that the majority of humanity says, you know, the majority of us do have that moral compass that we're like, God, I could just slap that motherfucker.
Yeah.
But you don't, because it's wrong.
Right.
And then you've got the few bad apples that that spoil the bunch that, you know, you're just like, oh, God, the world would be so much better without you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I come across those motherfuckers every single day. Just somebody that could disappear off the face of the planet and nobody would miss them. And the world would be better off without you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's to me, it's just like, I don't know. And maybe it's because, you know, I come from a fairly upstanding, you know, family. I didn't, you know, my parents didn't divorce, and, you know, we had a good, you know,
they always... the divorce thing means absolutely fuck all nothing, because my parents got divorced when I was like 11.
You have those people who blame everything, just like the people who were fucking Jesus freaks and blame and not blame, but attribute everything to, you know, Jesus. There are those that attribute everything that's gone wrong or everything they do to, you know, bad times in their life and shit like that. It's like,
this happened in my childhood, so this is why I shot somebody in the face.
Yeah.
No, you shot somebody in the face because you chose to do that. You're just morally absent. Like, you don't understand that that's a bad thing.
Right. And that's the thing is, so you've got, you know, kids who kill kittens and dogs and, you know, whatever else. Lock those motherfuckers up. Like, seriously. Like, and I don't, I'm not reading anything into statistics or anything like that about how many of them become, you know, how it's a precursor to serial behavior and shit like that. But it's just fucking wrong. I've got two dogs, and I could never imagine doing anything to them, let alone another fucking human being.
Inflicting any kind of serious harm. Actually, yeah. You know, I think I would stab a person before I hurt an animal.
Oh, don't get me wrong. If I was in the Marines or anything like that, I wouldn't have a problem shooting somebody in the face. If I was told to do it and I wouldn't get in trouble, I don't think I would have a problem.
Well, I would have to know that it was for the better of mankind, which makes it... like, it's either for the better of mankind, which that's a funny definition anyway, or right. and sheer preservation of life otherwise. So, like, they're attacking another human being, I'm going to shoot them.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of like where, like, in the name of preservation of life, because if I don't take their life, they're going to take somebody else's life.
Right.
And but they obviously don't value life, so you're dead, motherfucker.
I think the other part of it is, if you're signing up to go do that in the first place, I think you should be mentally aware that this is something that you're probably going to be called on to do. You know, so if I'm walking into a recruiter's office, this is something that I need to be prepared to be able to execute. And the whole PTSD thing and shit like that, look, I understand that, you know, some people have problems adjusting. Personally, I don't know that I would, you know, I don't know that I would have a problem coming back and being able to live a functional life outside of war, if you will.
I think that's the difference, though, because a lot of these kids that are suffering from PTSD, and obviously I'm not an expert on it, but you got to think about it. They came straight out of high school, went into the military thinking that they were just going to, you know, do their 5 years or whatever and collect on their GI Bill and go to college for free because they couldn't afford it. So for them, it was like an economical decision. And then war breaks out.
Right.
And now they're actually called to do what they've been trained to do. And because we were at peace for so long that
right.
Nobody thought that we would get into a major armed conflict again. And so, like, yeah, these kids were joining the military just so they could get their GI Bill, you know, do their two years or whatever, or they'd join the reserves to get their GI Bill. And then next thing you know, we go to war and they're starting to call all these guys up. And And so now they've got to do what they're trained to do, and they think they're prepared for it because, well, I've been trained. I'm a Marine. I made it through boot camp. I've got my stripes, whatever. And then they actually get out there and they have to actually start taking life.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's an easy thing. And, you know, in the chat, Moonlit brings up a good point is, you know, it's one of those situations where you don't know until you do it. But like I said, personally, I don't know. And once again, I don't know that I would have a problem doing it. But maybe that's just because at times I get so angry. Dude, I get fucking angry. Just like fucking old codger bitches just driving, you know, 15 miles below the speed limit. I just want to fucking take my truck and just drive right through their fucking Lexus and just plow right into them.
Yeah, there's a reason I haven't put a big gnarly bumper on the front of my Jeep yet.
Fucking push bar.
Exactly.
To just get the fuck out of the way. It's like, get the fuck out of here already.
Right. But I do want to put fucking 33s on it, though. So I might be able to crawl over some bitches.
I don't see me doing that.
You've got a Grand Cherokee, dude.
Yeah, I know.
That's you've got the one of the most luxurious SUVs you can buy.
It's not that luxurious. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's nice, but it's not like a fucking X6 or anything like that.
Okay, fair enough, but it's it's the most luxurious of the actual SUVs, not things that, you know, soccer moms drive because they can fit $1,000 worth of groceries in them.
Yeah, true.
Like, you can still put yours in four-wheel drive and climb a fucking mountain.
Oh, speaking of which, I think I Facebooked this, but, we had a rainstorm here a while back, and I have an air ride suspension that I can adjust, like, 6 inches up and down. And down where I work, it's like right on the shore almost, and it's a dip, and that fucking thing floods so easily. And I was coming up and I'm driving and I see these fucking cars. I'm like, holy shit, they're up to the fucking middle of the door in fucking water and shit. I fucking stopped, put the fucking suspension all the way up to the highest point it'll go, and I drove right by four cars that were fucking just floating. I was like, fuck yes, win, what?
Do you know how much your Jeep weighs by chance?
I can look it up real quick.
Because my Wrangler, I've got the unlimited Wrangler. It's the four-door, but it's still a Wrangler. It's a lunchbox with four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
How much do you think it weighs?
I'm going to guess 4,700 pounds.
55. Because it's the hollow box frame. The weight is in the frame and the suspension in the four-wheel drive. The body weighs fucking nothing. But the anti-lock. Can you believe that, though? A fucking Wrangler weighs 5,500 pounds. It's almost 3 tons.
So what the fuck is GVWR pounds? Oh, gross vehicle weight rating. Okay.
Yeah.
So my car weighs 2,100 pounds or 5,200 pounds. Excuse me. 5,200 pounds.
So it actually weighs less than my Jeep.
Yes. That's the curb weight. Yeah.
What's funny, though, is if you talk to some of the like hardcore off-roaders, like, do you know Jeep has actually become a verb? You go Jeeping.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, you actually go Jeeping. You don't go off-roading. You don't go four-wheeling. You go Jeeping.
Yeah.
And I've heard stories of... So a guy's got a wench on the front of his Jeep, and he's going to try and pull somebody else out. But he can't get his Jeep into a good position because he's like trying to pull a Humvee out, which weighs like 8 tons. There's a reason why they've got that sticker for Jeeps that says Hummer Rescue Squad or whatever it is.
Yep.
And so like he's trying to wench this Humvee out, but he can't get a grip. So as his wench is going, he's just dragging his Jeep up to the Humvee. So this other guy takes his pickup truck and he takes his wench and locks it onto the Jeep, the back of the Jeep. So he's acting like an anchor for the Jeep.
Right.
The Jeep pulls, he pulls his tight, and then the Jeep starts pulling tight on the Humvee.
Yeah.
And there's so much tension on the steel cable that the Jeep actually gets picked up off the ground. All four wheels are floating in air. And he's just one with this set of steel cables, and he's still pulling the this Hummer out, like an H2 or something like that. Gets the Hummer out, they ease the slack off on both of them and just gently set the Jeep back down, unhook, and the guy just drives off in his Jeep. He's like, fuck it. He's like,
my question is, he really didn't need to be there anyway.
Well, no, because he was the one pulling the Hummer out. Like, there was something weird about...
But his fucking wheels weren't touching the ground.
Yeah, because he had the truck anchoring him.
But his wheels weren't touching the ground, so the truck could have taken the Jeep's place and just pulled the Hummer out.
I think there was something, like weird about it. Like, the truck had to act as an anchor, like, had to lock itself in. Because if the truck got into place to pull the Hummer out, he started sliding.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the Jeep needed an anchor. Well, when I wrecked my boss's and your former boss's truck, it actually took three tow trucks to get it out, his truck out. Because it was all the snow and shit.
Oh, yeah, and it was down in a
creek bed. So the one tow truck got down so he could get his winch on the wrecked truck. And then he started sliding, so they got two more tow trucks to get up by the road and put their the feet, because they weren't flatbeds, they were the other tow trucks that just pick up half the car,
right?
So they put their feet down to act as, like, you know, stops to dig into the ground, and they locked into the other, like, it was a flatbed trying to pull his truck out. And so, yeah, both of them had to anchor the one tow truck, and that one tow truck was pulling the pickup truck out of the ditch.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And you know, I don't intend to do a whole lot of off-roading with my with my Cherokee, but it's nice to know the option is there if I needed it.
Yeah. Well, I drove my Honda Civic. I drove a Honda Civic Si, which was a lot of fun to drive. Then I moved out here. And just before I moved, I had to drive in like 6 or 8 inches of snow back in Virginia with my SI. That was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because it has wide tires for as little of a car it is, they're really wide tires. So I was just sitting up on top of the snow, just kind of wiggling my way through it. And I'm like, this isn't going to cut it.
Well, that's exactly how I used to deal with my Beamer. My Beamer was rear wheel drive. No weight in the ass end. It was a stick, and it had some giddy up and go. So I'll never forget the one time it was fucking snowing its ass off, and I pulled in, and there's the parking right next to the condo.
Uh-huh.
That's where we park. Fucking, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Turned off the traction control, put it into second gear, and I pulled in a little slow, and I fucking gunned it. And my ass end just went. Pulled right in, fucking pulled an Ace Ventura right into my parking
spot.
Just
did the massive fishtail and just whipped it all the way around.
So there's a guy smoking in the apartments next to me, and it's fucking like middle of the night, and all he does is, and I look, and he's like, "That was fucking sweet." I'm like, "You're goddamn right, it was."
Well, I love to scare the shit out of Annie, because I'll put my Jeep in. I've got 6+ inches of snow on the ground right now. It's been snowing its ass off since last night.
Yeah, isn't it fucking like officially summer or spring or some shit?
Yeah, this is one of the last snows we'll get.
Gotcha.
But it's a good one. Like I said, there's at least 6 inches. I actually walked out. I've got this glass table on my back deck that almost immediately starts to accumulate snow once it starts falling. So I just walked out with my tape measure and stuck it in the snow. And when I checked it a couple hours ago, it was right at dead even 6 inches.
Oh, wow.
And it could have drifted some off too. So it's 6+.
Right.
And so I'll put my Jeep in four wheel drive and then turn traction control off, because I'm in 4 high, and even in 4 high, the traction control still works.
Yeah.
But I'll turn it off just so that I can power slide around turns.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'll be in first gear and just gun it, and I'm rooster tailing with all four wheels, just snows flying past all my windows. I'm like, woohoo!
Just,
because it's a manual, too. So I'll just leave it in first gear and just have all that torque to all four wheels. She's right. Like grabbing for any kind of oh shit handle she can reach for. And I'm like, what?
Oh, Lord, please help me. I don't want to die.
I'm like, I got it. Jeep's like all the way sideways, going sideways down the road, and then it just snaps back. And I'm like, see, we're good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're good.
We're fine here.
Oh, man. Yeah, I miss having a car that I could manipulate at will. And I think that's a problem with a lot of drivers is they just, you know, they just don't know the capabilities of the vehicle. And they just, like, especially here in Virginia, man. I mean, you remember fucking rain, snow, people just start freaking out. And I'll be honest with you, one of the worst days that I saw accidents in terms of on the highway was fucking a sunny day where it was like 65 degrees out. And I think people just get lost in the fact, whoa, it's fucking nice out. Holy shit! There was a 3-tractor-trailer accident on the fucking highway. God. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? It's 65 degrees out, not a cloud in the sky. You fucking idiots need to pay the fuck attention.
I'll tell you what, the drivers actually get dumber out here in the rain than they do the snow. Because there's enough assholes, kind of like me, but I'm different, that have four-wheel drive, that they're like, fuck it, whatever. But the thing is, they forget that four-wheel drive doesn't help you stop. It only helps you go.
Yeah. The worst snow I've ever driven in, I was driving back from Christmas, actually. We left at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Entire label in one piece.
Nice.
How do you like that?
We left at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it took us 13 hours to get home. When normally it takes me about 7.5. Driving through Pennsylvania, we saw, no joke, at least a dozen, maybe a dozen and a half wrecks. One of them was a brand new, still had the 30-day tags on it, Mercedes SUV.
Oh, the one that looks like a Jeep? Like the really boxy one?
No,
CLK this, or whatever it is.
Like a CLK. This one had somehow gotten into the rocks and flipped over on its hood.
Oh.
And luckily, everybody looked okay as we drove by. But, I mean, there were stretches of the highway where we were doing 12 miles an hour and shit like that. I mean, it was just, I mean, you couldn't see like 50 feet in front of you, let alone, you know, up the road. And it was just accident after accident. And sure enough, I mean, I've got, you know, good tires on. I don't have snow tires or anything. And, you know, the treads could... I could probably have the tires rotated, but
you're supposed to get them rotated every other oil change.
Point. I needed that.
You know, just make a point there. Every other oil change, they're supposed to rotate the tires.
Yeah, I do need to do that. But yeah, man, it was, and then, like you said, just people just don't know how to drive four wheel. It's not, oh, I can go as fast as I want, because even with four wheel drive and all wheel drive, if you don't have traction, you don't have traction.
Right.
You know, so gunning it, just going to make you slide even more, you know, so.
Well, it was funny that one time that I drove in deep snow with my SI in Virginia, I was coming back from the Richmond airport. So, you know, that entire stretch of 64 between Richmond and Williamsburg.
Yeah.
And there was a Lexus that was trying to get on the interstate. And this is how I found out that a Lexus is rear wheel drive. I had no idea. I assumed they were front wheel drive because they were just Japanese cars. And I'm out in the left lane because I don't want to fuck with the people trying to get on and off.
Sure.
And I get to this point where this Lexus is trying to, and it's like they had to come downhill on the on ramp, and then the on ramp goes uphill to match the highway.
Right.
And he just never got enough traction. I don't know what condition his tires were in, but he just never got traction. And instead of like throwing it in reverse and trying to get off to the shoulder, you know, with gravity working with him.
Sure.
No, he just keeps gunning it. Just, he's got to be doing 40, 50, 60 miles an hour sitting still. Like his tires are just spinning that fast. And as he does that in all this nasty ass slushy snow, his car just keeps walking sideways. Like at first it's like walking sideways, and then the back end just starts working its way uphill and the front end's not moving. Like it's just it's just coming around. I'm like, you're an idiot. And I drop mine down into second and just keep going.
Yeah.
And I'm in a 2-liter VTEC four cylinder and a Civic Si. Like I've got more than enough horsepower to bury myself.
Right.
But I'm just like, meh, I'm good. Don't mind me.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's, people are dumb. Fucking, the world is dumb. We're dumb. Everybody's dumb.
Yeah, well, no. Watch it. One of my favorite lines from any movie actually comes from Men in Black. A person is smart. People are dumb, stupid, and panicky.
Yep.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, that's an hour, Wes.
Yeah, it always goes by pretty quick.
It always does.
And I think we did a pretty good job not having any fucking clue what we were going to talk about coming into this.
Literally, it was, hey, you want to do show today? Yeah, what time? Oh, about 2 hours from now. Sure, sure. Let's do that.
Sounds great. I'm going to go shopping in 6 inches of snow.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. You have fun.
Well, no, I'm saying that's what I was doing.
Oh, you already did. Yeah.
That's what I was doing when you contacted me. I was getting ready to go out the door. I'm like, all right, sure. Sounds great. And then, at least we worked all the technical crap out beforehand.
Yeah, it seems to be, I need to take some screenshots of the virtual audio cable setups and stuff like that. But other than that, I think it was a first good go around. So we'll go ahead and get this edited, thrown up on the website, which is thenewtech.tv, which both Wes and I are a part of. So we encourage everybody that, you know, listens to this to go head on over to thenewtech.tv, join the community. And other than that, you know, we'll who knows, maybe every Saturday or something like that. I know that the Pubcast every other Saturday does their thing right around this, maybe an hour before we started today. So we'll figure out the scheduling and stuff like that. So if you guys want to listen in live, you can. Otherwise, head on over to the website, get the podcast info. I'll go ahead and set up the podcast feeds, and you know we'll get going.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. And I think we're also probably going to work on live callers too, aren't we? Using either TeamSpeak or Mumble or whatever. We'll work on actually getting it so you guys can call in live. Call in. I put that in air quotes.
Yeah, exactly.
And be a part of the show. So, you know, we can tell you that you're fucking stupid and hang up on you.
Hey, exactly. You know, what do you want? Fuck it. We don't like what you're saying. Be gone.
Click.
All right, guys. So until next time, this is the Dank and Chew Show. I'm Chew.
And I'm Dank.
And we'll catch you next time.
Later.